जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी। जय गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी। यशोरानंदन ब्रज जन रंदन यशोरानंदन ब्रज जन रंदन यमुना तीरा वनचारे यमुना तीरा वनचारे। जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी। जय गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी। यशोरानंदन ब्रज जन रंदन यशोरानंदन ब्रज जन रंदन यमुना तीरा वनचारी। यमुना तीरा वनचारी। जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज का आचार्य अष्टोत्तर शिष्य मारे श्री भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद की जय। ग्रंथरा श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि बोल। समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय। आगे श्री असमल डिवोटी आगे श्री असमल डिवोटी आगे श्री असमल डिवोटी आगे श्री श्री गुरु गौरांग। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So to stay on schedule, we're going to repeat text 1. So Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 15. The killing of Denuka, the ass demon. Text number 1, word meanings. Sri Shuka Uvacha, Sri Shukadev Goswami said, Tata, then, Cha, and, Paugandavaya, the age of Pauganda, years 6 to 10. Shritao, attaining, Vraje, in Vrindavan. Babuvatu, they, Ram and Krishna, became Tao, the two of them, Pashupal, as cowherds, Sammatao, appointed, Gaha, the cows, Charyantao, tending, Sukhibi Samam, along with their friends, Padai, with the marks of their feet, Vrindavanam, Sri Vrindavan, Punyam, auspicious, Ativa, extremely, Chakratu, they made. Sri Shuka Uvacha Tatascho Paugandavaya Shritao Vraje Babuvatu Stapashupala Sammatao Gascharayanta Sakibi Samampade Vrindavanam Punyam Ativa Chakratu Tatascha Paugandavaya Shrita Vraje Babuvatu Stapashupala Sammatao Gascharyanta Sakibi Samampade Vrindavanam Punyam Ativa Chakratu Tatascha Paugandavaya Shrita Vraje Babuvatu Stapashupala Sammatao Gascharyanta Sakibhi Samampade Vrindavanam Punyam Ativa Chakratu
Tatascha Paugandavaya Shrita Vraje Babuvatu Stapashupala Sammatao Kascharyanta Sakibhi Samampade Vrindavanam Punyam Ativa Chakratu.
Ladies?
Tatascha Paugandavaya Shrita Vraje Abhuvatu Stapashupala Sammatao Kascharyanta Sakibhi Samampade Vrindavanam Punyam Ativa Chakratu.
Translation. Shukadev Goswami said, when Lord Ram and Lord Krishna attained the age of Paugandha, 6 to 10, while living in Vrindavan, the cowherd men allowed them to take up the task of tending the cows. Engaging thus in the company of their friends, the two boys rendered the land of Vrindavan most auspicious by imprinting upon it the marks of their lotus feet. Purport. Lord Krishna wanted to encourage his cowherd boyfriends, who had been swallowed by Ughasura and then stolen by Lord Brahma, Therefore, the Lord decided to bring them into the palm tree forest called Pallavan, where there were many delicious ripe fruits. Since Lord Krishna's spiritual body had apparently grown slightly in age and strength, the senior men of Vrindavan, headed by Nanda Maharaj, decided to promote Krishna from the task of herding calves to the status of a regular cowherd boy. He would now take care of the full-grown cows, bulls, and oxen. Out of great affection, Nanda Maharaj had previously considered Krishna too small and immature to take care of full-grown cows and bulls. It is stated in the Kartik Mahatmya section of the Padma Purana, Shuklashtami Kartike tu Smita Gopashtami Budhai Taddina Vasudevo Bhut Gopa Purvam tu Vatsapaha. The eighth lunar day of the bright fortnight of the month of Kartik is known by authorities as Gopashtami. From that day, Lord Vasudev served as a cowherd, whereas previously he had tended the calves. The word padai indicates that Lord Krishna blessed the earth by walking on her surface with his lotus feet. The Lord wore no shoes or other foot gear, but walked barefoot in the forest, giving great anxiety to the girls of Vrindavan, who feared that his soft lotus feet would be injured. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militamena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. In many cultures, especially traditional cultures, we have what are called rites of passage. When you go from one stage of your life to the next stage. So this is happening here with Krishna. Actually, these are important parts of culture. We have in Vedic civilization the samskars, which mark these different transitional points. Marriage, for example, is one of these samskars. And beginning school there's a samskar, which, of course, beginning school in the Vedic concept is accepting a spiritual master and going to the Gurukula. So these tend to get lost, or they lose their spiritual significance in more materialistic cultures. Just like today, even that sometimes it's lamented that in traditional cultures, for example, when a child reaches puberty, often there was a big ceremonies took place, or the boys especially, they had to show their prowess and show that they were a man. The boy is becoming a man today, so some big rituals and ceremonies would take place. So in our culture today, we have these, you might say, rites of passage, but they tend to have lost all their religious significance, spiritual significance. We have all kinds of graduations. Those are rites of passage. Beginning from Gurukul, we have graduations. From kindergarten, we have kindergarten graduations and middle school graduations and high school graduations, college graduations. And then in professional life, we have different events. Retirement, for example, that's a passage. It's generally not marked with Harinam or fire sacrifices, but a pat on the back and a bottle of whiskey maybe is more likely today. So we have them. We still have them. Shadows of rites of passage. These things are important, actually. And in Vedic civilization, these major events in one's life are marked by celebrations. They're made auspicious by yajna and chanting the holy names and so on. And this particular one we're hearing about today, this Gopashtami, this is a very significant point in Lord Krishna's life. Before this, he was Vatsapa, said this verse from the Padma Purana is quoted, Shuklashtami Kartike Tu. On the Ashtami of the Shukla in Kartik, Shukla Paksha. Actually, I was going to say a little something about our calendar. Doesn't hurt to understand a little something about it. I'm not an expert in any way on our Vedic calendar, but it's good to know some things. One thing is that you may have noticed if you look at our calendar, it's divided, each month is divided into two parts. One thing is there are different kinds of calendars, of course. All in Western civilization, there's been an evolution of the calendar. And even in India, the Hindu calendar, there are different kinds of Hindu calendars. So we have our Vaishnav calendar, And the, of course, it's a lunar calendar, so it's based on the moon, the cycles of the moon, which are, each one is approximately 30 days, not necessarily exactly. And there's the waning moon and the waxing moon. Our calendar is actually called the Purnima, what is it called? Purnima, Purnima Anta Mana. That means, mana means to consider. So it's considered that Purnima is the end of the month, Purnima Anta. So in our calendar, because in some calendars, Purnima falls in the middle of the month. Purnima means the full moon, of course. So on our calendar, the Purnima falls at the end of the month. So after the end of the month, then what happens after the moon is full, then it starts decreasing, right? Each night the moon is smaller and smaller and smaller. So that's called the waxing fortnight, or the waxing half of the month, is the first part of the month. And on all our calendars, if you look, you'll see that the month begins with the paksha. Paksha means a side. So on one side of the full moon, you have dark, and one side of the full moon, you have light. So the first one on our calendar is Krishna Paksha. So that Krishna there refers to dark. Of course, Krishna means dark or black. So that goes for about 15 days up to the middle of the month. And then after that, we have the Gaura Paksha, which is the light fortnight of the moon. We call it Gaura. It's also called Shukla. So here, it's called Shuklashtami. So on the bright fortnight, the eighth day, Ashtami, just like Janmashtami. So Ashtami means eight. So on the eighth day of the bright fortnight in the month of Kartik, that's when this took place. So we get a very specific description here. So many events in Krishna's life, they're tied to very specific lunar events or lunar days, the days on the lunar calendar. So then it says, so this is in the month of Kartik, Shukla, the Ashtami, Shukla. Actually, by the way, Prabhupada's, so this is the eighth day, Prabhupada's disappearance day is the Chaturthi, which is 4 days just before this. In fact, you may remember before Prabhupada passed away, Prabhupada wanted to go to Govardhan. He wanted to circumambulate Govardhan. There was a lot of discussion whether he should do this or not. And ultimately, Prabhupada didn't do it. But on the Gopashtami, the day that we're talking about here, 4 days after Prabhupada's disappearance, they took Prabhupada's murti to Govardhan, and they circumambulated Govardhan with Srila Prabhupada on this Gopashtami day. So this says, Shuklashtami Kartike to Smrita Gopashtami Budhai. Budhai means the learned know that this day is Gopashtami, the eighth day of the bright fortnight in the month of Kartik. Taddinad, on that day, Vasudevo Bud Gopa. Vasudev became a Gopa. Purvam, before that, to Vatsapa. He was Vatsapa. So Vatsa means a calf. So he's gone from becoming Vatsapa or Vatsapal to Gopal. So we can say that this is when Krishna got the name Gopal. Krishna, before that, technically speaking, you might say, he wasn't Gopal. I was thinking, I read this and I was thinking, well, what about Ladu Gopal? He's just a little kid. You know, and I thought, well, he's still a Gopal. His whole life he's a Gopal because he's from a Gopal family. Right? He's in the Gopa family, so even though officially he hasn't become a Gopal yet, we can still call him Gopal when he's a baby. But technically, this is when Krishna gets the name Gopal. I was singing, of course, this is one of a Gopal, Govindaram, Srimadusudan. This is one of the names that we chant of Krishna. So it's a transcendental holy name. I happen to have a brother named Paul, and I was thinking, well, maybe I got some Agata Sukriti. I'm sure when I was growing up, I probably said, hey, Gopal, let's go, Paul. Come on, let's go, Paul. Maybe that's why I'm here today, because of that Agyata Sukriti. So this is one of Krishna's names, Gopal. And so this name is especially associated with this Paugandha age, Krishna's age, when he associates with the cowherd boys especially. In fact, Krishna's three ages, there's a particular rasa associated, you can say, more predominantly in Krishna's different ages. And this makes sense. For example, the Vatsalya Rasa, when Krishna's just a baby, so he's mostly at home with Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda. So that in the early Krishna's Kumara age, then that's more, the predominant Rasa there is the Vatsalya Rasa. So now he's going into Paugandha, and in this age it's more the Sakya Rasa, Sakya Bhav, Krishna's relationship with his cowherd friends. And this is where we hear more about his pastimes with the cowherd boys. And then when Krishna gets to Kaishore, then it's more his association with the gopis and Madhurya Bhava, Madhurya Rasa. Now one thing about Krishna, here it's described that the different ages, and we heard about this I think yesterday too, it's mentioned that Krishna has 5 years as Kumar, 5 years as Paugandha, 5 years as Kaishore. I was just editing a lecture Srila Prabhupada has given in the early days in New York. It was a verse on Sanatan Goswami's instructions to, or Lord Chaitanya's instructions to Sanatan Goswami. So one of the verses begins with Kishore Shekhar is the name for Krishna. Kishore Shekhar means the, Shekhar means the chief or topmost, and Kishore means one in the Kaishora age, so youth. So there Prabhupada said that he mentions Krishna's three ages, and then he said after that, after Kaishore, then he's Yovana. We talk about Krishna as Nava Yovana Cha. Of course, Yovana just means youth. Then he said, so Krishna is always at that age. He never gets older than that, Yovana, 15, 16-year-old boy. So at first he said 16, and then later in his lecture he said 15, 16. Then I was thinking, I've always thought of this, sometimes there seems to be some confusion. In the early days of ISKCON, for example, there was some confusion about Prabhupada's age. Because Prabhupada would say things and it didn't seem to jibe with what we understood for when he was born. For example, most devotees will say that Prabhupada came to America, was 70 years old when he came to America. And I think that's because Prabhupada would say it in my 70th year. But in your 70th year, you're 69 years old, right? In your first year of life, you're not 1 year old yet. In your second year of life, you're 1 year old. So I think these two things may get confused in people's minds. In fact, I've even heard devotees concoct the idea. I think it's a concoction. Well, that's because, you know, in India they calculate from the time of conception or something. But I think that's a bogus idea, to tell you the truth. I think it's just confusion over this point. So here, for example, it says the 6 year. So that means when Krishna was 5 years old, then he began his 6 year of life. That's the Paugandha age. Not that he was 6 years old. So anyway, these different ages, though it's described in different places that Krishna was very precocious. If you don't know what this word means, precocious means mature for his age. So he was growing up too fast. And the reason for this is Krishna wanted to get to the Kaishore more quickly to associate with Radharani and the gopis. So he actually only spent a few years as a Kumar, and only 2 years. Somewhere I read that he was only 2 years in the Paugandha age. So he was moving ahead quickly. And because he's anxious, it's said that this Vaya Kaishora Kam Jayam. There's a list of Krishna's Shama Meva Param Rupam. Krishna's Shama Rupa. Shama Rupa means Shama, of course, Shama Sundar. That's considered to be the supreme form of Krishna. And that Shama Rupa is especially associated with Kaishora age. So then it says, Vaya Kaishora Kam Jayam. It also says that the Krishna's Kaishora age is to be worshipped. So that's considered to be the supreme age also. So in any case, here we're hearing about the Paugandha age. And there's a lot of information about it in the Nectar Devotion. I thought I'd read something here. I hope it's not too much. It'll probably take at least 5 minutes or so to read this. But let me just read here because it's very good. It's all in one place here pretty much. In the Nectar of Devotion. This is a chapter 42. It's called Fraternal Loving Affairs. So Krishna's Paugandha age can be divided into three periods, beginning, middle, and end. So we see this often. There's three stages. In the beginning of the Paugandha age, there is a very nice reddish luster on his lips. His abdomen is very thin, and on his neck are circles like those on a conch shell. Sometimes some outside visitors would return to Vrindavan and see Krishna, and upon seeing him again would exclaim, "My dear Mukunda, your beauty is gradually increasing, just like the leaf on a banyan tree. My dear lotus-eyed one, your neck is gradually manifesting circles like those of a conch shell. And in the shining moonlight, your teeth and cheeks are competing with the Padmaraga jewels in their beautiful arrangement. I am sure that your beautiful bodily development is now giving much pleasure to your friends. At this age, Krishna was garlanded with various kinds of flowers. He used to put on a silk dress colored with various kinds of dye. Such beautiful decorations are considered cosmetics for Krishna. Krishna would wear this dress when he used to go into the forest to tend the cows. Sometimes he would wrestle there with different friends, and sometimes they would dance all together in the forest. These are some of the specific activities of the Pavaganda age. The cowherd friends of Krishna were so happy in his company that they expressed their transcendental feelings within themselves thus: "Dear Krishna, you are always busy tending the cows which are scattered all over beautiful Vrindavan. You have a beautiful garland, a small conch shell, and a peacock feather on your turban, yellow-colored silk cloth, decorations of Karnikara flowers on your ears, and a Mallika flower garland on your chest. Appearing so beautiful, when you proceed, just like an actor, to be fighting with us, you give us unlimited transcendental bliss." When Krishna is more grown up, in the middle of the Pavaganda, middle age of Pavaganda, his nails become finely sharp, and his chubby cheeks become lustrous and round. On the two sides of his waist, above his belt, there are three distinct lines of folded skin called triboli. So there's more to read here, but I don't think I have time to keep going too much. But one thing we can observe, later here described at the end of Krishna's Pavaganda age, then he starts getting interested in the gopis, naturally. In other words, he starts transitioning into the Kaishora age, where he has more association with the gopis. So in any case, today we're talking about Gopashtami, and this was an important celebration. I did try to do some research to get more information on this. I looked all over the internet, and I found things here and there. I had a hard time tying it to specific our Shastras. Once in a while there was one of our Acharya's names mentioned, but it wasn't always clear where this information was coming from. But there are some nice descriptions that I read, and we can understand that these things make sense. When Krishna, this is a major thing happening in Krishna's life. He's going out. First, he was tending the calves, so pretty much just around the Vrindavan village, not going way out, far away. And Mother Yashoda could always sort of keep track of him, keep an eye on him, so he was close to home. So now he's going out. And at first, Mother Yashoda, she was completely resisting this. You can just imagine. She doesn't want it. She's seeing Krishna pretty much all the time in his Kumara age. Now he's going on to the next stage. Just like parents, they're sending their child off to school for the first time. They may feel some separation. So Mother Yashoda, of course, everything in her mood is extreme, you might say. So she's feeling, oh no, this can't happen. And Nanda Maharaj also, because Krishna is asking, he's just a little boy, and he said, "No, I'm ready, Dad. I'm ready now to take care of the cows. I'm ready to take on this more responsibility." And they're thinking, "Oh, he's just our little baby. He's going to go out. Can't go out with all the cows. He's going to get hurt." So then finally they agree. Nanda Maharaj's brothers encourage him. "No, it's okay. Your boy is a little advanced for his age. You know, he does amazing things. He's probably okay." So then they have a big celebration, naturally, and they worship the cows. Traditionally, on Gopashtami, one worships the cows. And then, after the celebration, all the boys and the men, the first time the men are going out, the older men are going out with the boys. It's part of the celebration. This is the day when they become the boys, Krishna and some of his other friends, they become Gopals today. So they go out together to be celebrated. It's supposed to be just the boys and the men going out. So what's happening, Radharani and the gopis, they're thinking, "Oh, we want to go too." So what do? They disguise themselves as cowherd boys, and they follow along. So instead of wearing their long saris, covering their feet, like our Radharani always has her feet covered, so they have wearing dhotis, so their feet are showing. So traditionally in Mayapur and Vrindavan, the deities, they wear, Radharani wears a dhoti on this day, and you can see her feet on Gopashtami. There's this day and there's another day, which has to do with the pastime of Subal. On the internet, I noticed these two seem to get mixed up, but technically on the Vedic calendar, they're two separate days. One is when the Radharani's feet are showing because she's wearing a dhoti to follow Krishna and the cowherd boys into the woods. And there's another pastime where Radharani's feet are showing because there's a whole pastime where Krishna wanted to meet Radha, but Radha was at home and he couldn't go there to meet her because Jatila is always blocking Krishna's entrance there. So Subal goes, and Subal looks a lot like Radharani. His face is very, she has a golden complexion, he looks like Radharani. So he goes in and Jatila says, "What are you doing here?" He says, "Oh, we lost a calf. So we think maybe it came in here somewhere into your property." So he goes in and he tells Radharani, "What, Krishna wants to see you?" So then they come up with a plan that they disguise Radharani as Subal, and she sneaks out. And well, first she says, "Well, I can't do that. You know, I'm a girl. My body is different." She says, "Well, you just carry this bundle, you know, on your chest, and you go out." And so they snuck. So then in that instance too, Radharani has her feet are showing. So in different temples, they have Radharani's feet showing on this day. So Krishna is always, of course, churning the ecstasy. So in this pastime, the ecstasy of Mother Yashoda is the ecstasy of separation. And the cowherd boys, they're relishing something different. And now they're getting Krishna, they're going to go out and they're going to have some more freedom. They're going to do different things they weren't able to do before. And this is all great cause for celebration. There's all, everything in Krishna's, it's so joyful. It's all happiness. And of course, one thing about Mother Yashoda, it's mentioned here that the cowherd, the girls of Vrindavan, they're afraid that Krishna is going to bruise his feet, hurt his feet when he goes out. But of course, this is just a kind of ecstasy. Mother Yashoda is thinking the same way, because how is Krishna going to hurt his feet in Vrindavan? Is the ground of Vrindavan going to poke Krishna's feet? No, Krishna's lotus feet is walking on them. Even Mother Earth, she says, "Oh, I was so fortunate." She's lamenting after Krishna left the planet. "Oh, I was so fortunate, but I was touched by the lotus feet of Krishna when he was here." So in Vrindavan, Krishna walks barefoot. Mother Yashoda wanted to wear shoes, sandals in Vrindavan. He said, "No, this is Vrindavan, I'm going to walk barefoot." But the ground of Vrindavan is not going to poke Krishna's feet. Somewhere it's stated later in the Bhagavatam that in Dwarka, Krishna wears sandals. He becomes a city boy, grows up, and puts on his work clothes. So he wears sandals in Dwarka when he goes to Dwarka. But in Vrindavan, he always goes barefoot. So there's this ecstasy that Krishna's, he's too young for this, or his body is too soft for this. But of course, nothing's going to happen. The bulls aren't going to hurt Krishna. Even though they're big cows, big bulls, they're not going to hurt Krishna. The land of Vrindavan is not going to hurt Krishna's lotus feet. But all of these are different aspects which increase the devotees' feelings and ecstasy in their association with Krishna. So the verse again. Shukadeva Goswami said, "When Lord Ram and Lord Krishna attained the age of Paugandha, 6 to 10, while living in Vrindavan, the cowherd men allowed them to take up the task of tending the cows. Engaging thus in the company of their friends, the two boys rendered the land of Vrindavan most auspicious by imprinting upon it the marks of their lotus feet." Any questions? I wasn't sure that clock was right. It didn't seem to have moved, but I guess it's okay. Madan Mohan Prabhu?
Nobody noticed the imprints on the dust when Radharani was walking. She has significant impressions she leaves on the bottom of her feet.
Well, one thing is that now Krishna's a little older. He makes deeper, right? His prints are more visible. When he's a little baby, it's sort of very soft. You can hardly see the imprints. But now he weighs a little more. You get a little more chubby now. So he makes heavier. You can see his footprints. And now they're going to be in more places in Vrindavan, too, as he wanders around, spreads his the geographical area that he roams in Vrindavan, bringing pleasure to other areas of Vrindavan. Adidev Prabhu?
I'm not sure where I read this, but I read that during this age that Mother Yashoda would come down. Evidently, she and Nanda, they live at their palace is kind of high on a hill, and she would come down to the main road when Krishna would leave in the mornings. And she would just cry all day long, waiting for Krishna to return.
Yeah, in fact, Nanda Maharaj has on top of his roof, there's a place, it's called Chandra, what is it, Salila or something like that? Chandra something. It's a place where you look at the moon on top of your house. Apparently, they specifically built such a place on their houses. So from there, Nanda Maharaj would go all the way up there so he could see Krishna, especially when he's coming home, looking out, keeping an eye out. When's Krishna coming back? Because all day long they were in separation. Now Krishna, in his Pauganda age, now he's gone all day. We're not seeing him. Yeah.
There's also written about the, the sand and the dust of Vrindavan, that they have a service, and their service is to kick up when Krishna's coming home. Mm-hmm. So the Nanda Maharaj, can see when he's up there on that tower. Oh, there's the dust. Okay, so Krishna's over there. Okay, he's coming. Sounds like a good service.
I thought I remembered when Mother Yasoda asked him to wear shoes. Krishna says the cows don't wear shoes.
She wanted him to have umbrella also, and she said, he said, unless all the cows have umbrellas and shoes, uh-huh. I can't have. But the special darshan, the Subal Vishas, that's at the end of Kartik.
That's Triodashi, I think.
Yeah, it's only at one of the temples. They have the Deva Saptalaya, the seven temples of the Goswamis, like uh-huh. that. They have, each one has a different darshan that day. One has Noka Vihar, in the boat pastime. One has the Rai Raja, mm-hmm. and they described that pastime the other day when Radharani became the queen of Vrindavan, and Krishna has his shield and sword at her feet like that. And then there's Van Vihar, Noka Vihar, Subal Vish, like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's called Subal Vish, that festival. Actually, in Mayapur, our Mayapur temple, not only Radharani's feet are showing, but Ashtasakhi, all their feet are showing. Anga Gopashtami, they do that. In the back.
Prabhu, has anyone preserved one of Krishna's lotus imprints in the sand in Vrindavan?
Has anyone
preserved it?
In the sand? Well, yeah. Sand doesn't preserve very well. There is a place called Charan Pihari. Is that what's Charan Pihari? Yeah, where Krishna's footprint is on a rock. You can see that. So that's still there.
At least three.
There's at least three in Vrindavan, you can see. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's footprints are there too. Somewhere, not Vrindavan, well, maybe Vrindavan, but I know it's someplace in South India, I think. Of course, there are impressions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feet installed by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati in different places where Lord Chaitanya traveled. Alanath Temple. Oh, his body he lay down and melted the stone. That's there at Alanath Temple near Jagannath Puri. All right, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.